Who's thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? Who's thankful that you get to worship in the freedom of the Spirit this morning? Who's thankful for the Word of God? I love this series we're doing, Elijah, a man just like us, because it's not putting this mighty prophet in a category of his own. But James, by the Spirit, in James 5:17, says, Elijah is a man just like us. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Elijah is a man or woman just like you. Okay, some of you don't believe it. Let's say it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, Elijah is a man or a woman just like you. How can James make such a lofty, is that hyperbole? Is he just trying to have a good ending to his letter so he's ramping up the bar? No, it's because all of us now are in Christ Jesus, and he is the prophet, and he is the king, and he is the priest. Amen? So I feel prepared this morning. If someone came up to me and say, Matthew, do you feel prepared? I'd say most definitely. And then if they were to ask me why, I would tell them because I've taken my preparation H. Wait, you didn't let me finish. The H stands for heaven. I've been in heavenly places. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, have you been in heavenly places? If not, you can now. Yeah. I might hear about that one later, but I thought it was funny. So, I always believe that the Lord he doesn't just speak in isolated messages. How many believe he doesn't just give an isolated message, but he believes and puts a demand that we heard yesterday or last week's message? And that we're bringing last week's message into this week's message. When they're on the boat, and the disciples, and he's talking about the Pharisees and the leaven and all that, they're like, what is he talking about? Is he hungry? He's like, don't you remember the loaves and the fish? So that's why I think it's important to gather up where we've been. And I don't want to give a big rehash of last week, but how many were encouraged by that word last week? How many are thankful for that word? It spoke something to you. Not just a good talk, but the Lord through Pastor Jamie. He met you, right? I felt that last week for so many. He met me last week. He spoke to me. And I don't want to recap everything he said because he said it so well by the Spirit, but there was one phrase as I was praying for today kept jumping off the page, so to speak, from what was preached last week. And Pastor Jamie said this, when you stand before the Lord, you can stand before anyone. Do you guys remember that? When you stand before the Lord, you can stand before anyone. And I was kept pondering that, and as I was reading today's story, which is immediately following, we're actually staying in the same chapter, and it's the concluding story to chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings 17. We will have scriptures up here. But I believe that phrase is kind of a launching pad or a stepping stone into where we're going. We're going to take it a little further this week. God doesn't just teach us how to stand before people. He teaches us to stand for people. He doesn't just teach us how to stand before people, because when we stand with him, we don't need a fear of man. That's the foundation. But as we stand more before the Lord, he teaches us how to stand for people. That's where we're headed today. Is learning to stand for people. I think I have a slide for that. If you get nothing else from today, those who stand before God learn to stand for others. That's where we're headed today. As we read, I'm going to read right from my Bible. You can look at the slides. But as we read, I want us to see through that one lens. And if you see through other lenses, great. But I want you to see through that lens. This is 1 Kings 17. He's still at the widow's house. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. And he laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Amen. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." That's good news right there. How many believe he resurrects? Whether that's a physical from the dead, which we know he does that, but also souls that are lost. And there's parents here who you've mourned in prayer before the Lord over a lost son or daughter. And I believe today God is speaking hope to you. That as we had that powerful mid-service, you can believe for a miracle. You can believe for revival in that lost son or daughter, even right now. Then the final verse, verse 24. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." That's the story for today. And likely I won't be pulling in any more scriptures, but I believe there's a lot here. And I want to zoom back. Were you guys hearing things? Stuff leaping off the page or the screen? I think there's so much here, and I don't mean to cover everything, but I think there's some things that we need to pay attention to. So look at verse 18. I want us to go back to verse 18. This is the woman's cry. Once her son, the breath is gone. Okay, you can imagine she's a widow. She's a mother. And her only son has no breath in his lungs. For all intents and purposes, he's flatlined. And how many know that that son is really her only hope, probably, of livelihood and a future? Now, we don't think that way as strongly today, but in that society, as a woman and a widow, you bet that's her inheritance, that's her retirement, that's her future provision. So there's a lot more going on than if this was maybe modern in a wealthy Western society. There's a lot at stake here. But listen to her cry. "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" Can you hear possibly some shame, some fear, some accusation, maybe even some hopelessness behind those words? She mentions sin here. So she's obviously connecting possibly that somehow this happened to me because of my sin. Are you hearing that? Quite possibly behind all of this, she has a sense of unworthiness. Why do I say that? Well, just previous to this, last week we covered there was a need and the prophet asked her to give her the first fruits, right? The first meal for the prophet Elijah. She obeys, and then God multiplies the flour and the oil. So she's just come out of daily provision from God. Yet no doubt this woman has hurts and pains, maybe even beyond the son dying and not having breath. But here's what I want to say. He doesn't correct her theology. As a man of God, couldn't he easily maybe rebuke or put her in her place right here? Like, did you come to kill my son? Are you here to bring my sin to remembrance? You know, and sometimes people come to us and we can feel the hurt. We can sense the rejection. We can sense the hopelessness on them. But he doesn't correct her theology. He doesn't rebuke her for not having trust in what the Lord just did. He takes her dead son and carries him to the Lord. He takes her pain and problem to the Lord. I feel like there's a lesson here, because when we hear the pains of others, it's easy to begin to evaluate them in the flesh. It's easy to begin to judge the person. Yes, they have a need, but they're also demonized. I've done that. But I believe the heart of God comes through Elijah in this passage. Here she is in her desperation, a degree of accusation, a sense of shame, probably some unworthiness. And he says, "Give me your son." And he takes the son to the Lord. You know, here at Valley, I remember years ago, I was on the healing rooms team. Who here is thankful for our healing rooms team Monday nights? Who's been touched at the healing rooms? You've been encouraged, you've received healing. Look at all these hands, guys. And years ago, I don't think she's here, but Sarah Feuerstein was the director of that ministry. And she said, "Guys, hear their need, hear their problem, but don't start to counsel. Take it to the Lord right away. Here, you might need to ask a follow-up question. You need to understand." And we hear with mercy and compassion, but there comes a point where they stop talking, we stop talking, and we bring the burden to the Lord. Because so much of our problem happens between the vomit out the mouth, and I'm not saying it's always vomit, the need, the pain coming out, and our time in bringing it to the Lord. When we delay, a lot of times the flesh gets in. Judgment gets in. Sometimes things get in and we never end up praying. I've done that. Men's prayer, Tuesday morning. Raise your hand if you're a man and you've come to Tuesday morning prayer. Ugh. We can do a little grunt there. Ugh. Ugh. That's what we do, women, by the way. We come, we pray, but we also, we grunt all morning. So if we come back a little intense, we were grunting. Okay, I'll stop. That is a digression here. But there's so many things I love about that, but one thing particularly, once we started doing it, I was like, that is so good. When we pray for each other's needs, we get in triads, groups of three, and the first man doesn't talk for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes about his problem. He just jumps in and begins to bring it before the Lord. But while that first man is bringing it before the Lord, the other two brothers on his left and right are listening in the spirit, probably compassion is welling up, and they're getting things in the presence of the Lord. And as soon as this brother is done, then the next man prays for what he just heard, and then the next man prays for what he's heard. But what I love about it is the two other men are hearing in the realm of prayer. And they're not hearing in the realm of counsel. Now, we need counsel. We need to process. As pastoral staff, we sit down and we listen and we process. I'm saying there's a time and a place for that. But when there's a need you can't overcome, when there's a problem that pastors can't figure out, man can't figure out, it's time to take that burden to the Lord. Bring it into his presence. Okay, I want us to look at verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, we can go back to 19. So again, she makes this statement with probably some hurt, shame, unworthiness, accusation, whatever. You can read different things, but definitely it's kind of a jarring statement. He doesn't address it. He says, give me your son. And he took the son, the problem, out of her arms. And he carries the problem into the upper room where he was staying. Everyone say upper room. Upper room. I don't think there's anything magical to going up in elevation. I've heard all kinds of teachings on that, that, man, if you want powerful prayer, go on the second floor or go up on a mountain. Has anyone heard anything like that? And maybe there's something to that, but I don't think that's why Elijah brought the son with no breath into the upper room. I believe he realized down here on ground level, I'm in the presence of a mother with all kinds of emotions, probably trauma, and in love for her, he's gonna take the son away from the place of chaos up into the room where there's peace. When crisis comes, we need to learn to take the chaos into the presence of God rather than allowing the crisis to dictate our perspective. We take it up. We take it up. We go up. We go into the presence of God. So let me now say, I don't think there's anything necessarily to climbing up physically. There might be. But how many know we can take things to the throne room of God? And that we can take things into heavenly places where we're seated with Christ? Woo! I have kind of 4 points here under that main point that when we stand before God, he's teaching us, we're learning to stand for others. The first thing is as soon as we hear the problem of another, our first instinct should be to carry that to the Lord. Carry that to the Lord. I want to highlight one more thing. Verse 19, it says he took the child into his own arms, into the upper room where he was staying. Everyone say where he was staying. That leapt off the page to me. Elijah already had a history with the Lord at the widow's house. Elijah already had a secret place where he stood before the Lord at the widow's house. God has that for all of you. And I'm not trying to put emphasis on it's got to be here in your bedroom. You got to go upstairs. It's not about a physical location. Sometimes, though, we do need to get away. And Jesus modeled that. He went away to lonely places to pray. But the point is that Elijah was ready for this moment because he had a history already at that house with the Lord, standing before the Lord. 2 weeks ago, Daniel Brown, how many were challenged by that sermon from Daniel Brown? Now I'm really stretching your memory. We're going back 2 weeks. But he spoke on the parable of the virgins and how 5 had oil and 5 didn't. Elijah had oil. He was ready to deal with a son with no breath in his lungs. I want to be ready when someone has no breath in their lungs. I want to be ready when their financial crisis is so great, but I know how big my God is. I want to be ready that when a marriage is on the brink of divorce, I don't try to reason or counsel. I said, let's bring this before the Lord because I know a God who can transform marriages. I know a God that can bring prodigals back home. How many want that? I want that. I want to be ready like Elijah was. And because we're a man like him and the word doesn't lie, Pastor Jamie said last week, the word doesn't lie, we all can have a place in the Lord. In fact, we do have a place in the Lord, but that takes relationship and history. I know my God. There's no breath. He gives breath. He gave breath to Adam. He gives breath. He has the Holy Spirit. When he sends forth the Spirit, they're created. I have a history in the presence of God. I know where to bring the sun. I'm going to go up in the upper room where I've been with the Lord. Woo. Yeah. He's speaking 2 weeks ago. Daniel Brown, do you have oil? Last week, Pastor Jamie pointed out that Elijah, very first phrase, we don't have history, says, the one who stood before the Lord. I think he's saying something. Verses 20 and 21. Let's go to verses 20 and 21. I want us to now move into the next part of the story. Then he cried, say cried. He cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? Notice he's identifying with her cry. He doesn't judge her cry or shut her cry down. He takes on her cry before the Lord. Do you guys notice that? He could have rebuked her, or like her theology was wrong, or that's not my God. But mercy triumphs over judgment. And verse 21, and he stretched himself out on the child three times. Let's stop there. What is the significance of Elijah stretching out on the boy? Has anyone ever pondered that? What? The cross. Dave, you're spot on. I think that's ultimately what he was prophesying, even unawares. The cross. How many are thankful that Jesus stretched himself out in our place of death and sin? And he revived us from death and sin. I do believe that, that's the ultimate. But I think there's something more immediate that speaks to our God, and the cross is the culmination. God doesn't answer things at a distance. He identifies and enters into our pain. I believe there's a beautiful picture there. That as Elijah got to know God, how many know that he's slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate? He's merciful. And I believe that that act of laying on that son, now there might be something to the fact that the Holy Spirit is in him, upon him, and the power of God is touching that body. I read that when I was studying. Okay, I think that's part of it. But I think the immediate thing is that God doesn't just wave a wand from a distance. He enters into our pain. He enters into our brokenness. He is Emmanuel, God with us, not just with us when we got it all right, not just with us when we feel like we're prayed up, not just with us when we are acting and speaking right. He's with us in our rebellion. He's with us in our sin. He's with us in the dead things in our life. And I want to just tell you this morning, the areas that feel dead in your life, God is very much present and alive in those areas. If there's something dead in your body, he's the living God who's aware, and he's not at a distance in that. If there's something dead in your marriage, he's the living God who's not at a distance, but very much alive in the midst of that dead marriage. If you have a son or a daughter who's dead, living in sin, addiction, he's very much the living God who's alive in that situation. Do you see how your perspective changes when you believe the living God is the one who would lie down and goes right in the midst of dead things? Because this man of God, Elijah, represents what the Lord would do, because he's obeying the Lord. So you can say the Lord is laying himself out. Thank you, Lord. The more we stand before God, the more we encounter his heart. And the more we encounter his heart, the more his compassion begins to shape our response to people. And he may not be calling any of us at any time soon to physically lay out on top of a dead body. But you never know. You never know. Just as a side, I believe I love Pastor Lynn's teaching that anytime you've led someone to Christ and they've gone from sin to salvation, that was a resurrection. I love that revelation. And with that, I believe, in fact, I know of a few testimonies of actual physical resurrections from this church. How many, raise your hand, know of a believer, either in this church or in your lifetime, who God used to raise the dead? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's probably a third of the room. Aren't you glad God still raises the dead? When you spend regular time with the Lord, you may discover that you become more tender to the things that break his heart. And I believe that picture, he cries her prayer, he says her prayer, and then he lays out on the boy. And to me, that speaks of a God who is tender, who enters into the dead things and the pain. He doesn't just snap his fingers from a distance. He's willing to get dirty is another way to say it. Okay, so we learned when we're presented with these things, we carry them right to God. God begins to have us care for the person. And by the way, what am I working through? I believe this story is a flow or a training for intercession. Amen. Now, intercession, big word. Let me make it simple. This person's here with problems. God is here. We hear the person and we stand in the gap for them and we pray to God on their behalf. Intercede, intercede. And I just want to say this. You may not be on our altar team, our breakthrough team, or our healing rooms team, but all of you are called to the ministry of intercession. And all of you have a powerful intercessory ministry. We're going to get there a little later on that one. Okay, let's go to verse 20. We're making observations here. Verse 20. Then he cried. Say cried. Say it again, cried. Say it like you mean it. Ooh, there we go. He cried. This is the first cry. What does he say? Oh, Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? This first cry that he makes is a cry of wrestling and lament. This first cry is a cry of wrestling and lament. A lot of us, I've done this, you go to the Lord and you're just trying to pray out the solution, but you actually haven't poured out your heart to him. And you wonder why you're not connecting, because God's like, I need you to be real with your heart. This is going to be big for, I feel like, some people right now. God can handle your whys. God can handle your, have you brought him here to kill me? Kill my son? God can handle your laments. How do I know that? There's a book called Psalms. Anyone read the Psalms? David is a man after God's heart, yet frequently he's like, why are my enemies against me? Why do they surround me on all sides? That is godly. Now, if it ends with that, I don't believe it is. But as a starting place in prayer, when there's a desperate situation, when something matters to us and there's anguish and there's pain, our first cry often needs to be, this is so hard. I can't get through. Why is this happening? Some of you, through religion or guilt, don't feel like you can do that. And right now, I just release in the name of Jesus that our Father can handle your lament. He can handle your cry. He can handle your pain. He's a big boy. He's a big father. Pour out your heart to him. And if that includes whys, if that includes, why did this ever happen? Now, I'm not saying to question God. I'm saying to get your lament out. If that question's in there, don't bury it. I had anger with God for a long time that I wish earlier I would have let out. Now, praise God, it all happened in the right time, I feel like, anyway. So in the end, he wins, even when we do things wrong. Even when we suppress, he gets it out when it needs to get out. And it's like, well, it happened at the same. But what I'm saying is, you hear the word of the Lord. He wants you to let things out. And a lot of times, as pastors, a huge reason we deal with issues or people have issues is because they have trapped pain they've never released to the Lord. In fact, I'm going to say that's a really big thing. We deal with it in breakthrough all the time. Now, I'm saying if you have trapped pain and you need help, go to breakthrough. I've done it 4 times in the last 5 years. I needed that help. But a lot of times we don't need to go to breakthrough. It's because we don't believe we have that freedom to let our lament out to the Lord. But see, that's not the only cry in this passage. Let's look at verse 21. His first one's lament, but what is the second one? Oh, Lord, my God, I pray that this child's soul may be brought back to him. David, the same David who would say, why have my enemies come against me? In the same psalm would be like, you're my shield, you're my light, you're my refuge, you're my tower. Lament is okay, but if it doesn't end in trust and praise, it'll only lead to more questions. Your lament and your anguish poured out is good and godly, but it needs to end in praise and worship of who he is. Because if we don't end with who he is, we're left in the mess of our pain and more questions. And that's where the enemy comes in. And if you don't take your why gods to the Lord, the enemy will take your why gods and destroy you. If you don't take your why gods to the Lord, the enemy will commandeer those why gods and throw them back in your face and accuse you and hurt you. So I'm going to say it with more fire. If you have trapped questions, there's an urgency for you to bring them to the throne of God. There's an urgency. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And many of you are sick because you haven't brought your pain to the Lord. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when we bring the sickness to the Lord, he can fulfill a desire because he's the God of miracles. And then there's the tree of life. Woo. Thank you, Lord. First cry, lament, wrestling. Second cry is petition in faith by Elijah. And that's always our movement. When there's lament, when there's something that's so hard, we got to get past it to faith. Some of you need to get in the first step of just letting it out. Praise God. Okay, final thing is verse 22. Let's read that. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Yeah, let's rejoice at that. Because that's about you and I. That's not just an ancient story of a prophet and a dead son. He's got revival for you. He's got revival for those that you're burdened for. Woo! But then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Elijah had to realize that he had to commit the miracle to the Lord. He takes an unsolvable problem, he brings it before the Lord. Carrying a burden in intercession is not the same as carrying the responsibility for the outcome. Carrying a burden in intercession is not the same as carrying the responsibility for the outcome. We pray for others with all love and passion, and we take it seriously. But at the end of the day, we leave the miracle in God's hands. Some of you, over someone you love, your intercession has turned to the point where you haven't released them to God. Some of you, in your care for another, and I want to be delicate with this, but this is freeing, has led to you not fully releasing that person to the Lord. It's like you're taking back a little bit of the Lord's part. That's a hard word to give, but that's freedom if you can receive it. Because there's a committing of the dead child over to the Lord. Oh, I've cried out. I've laid on him 3 times. I've persisted. I've brought him to my room. I've taken him to the throne. But now I let him go in your hands. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and he revived the son. This is freeing for some right now. He's going to bring the revival. He's going to bring the miracle. He's going to bring the financial provision. He's going to make the marriage come back together. He is going to empower you to step in that ministry you're scared of. Whew. Yeah. Our part, when we have a burden of someone else, we carry it, we care for it, we cry out. God's part, he listens and he revives. He responds. He gets to be God. It's a God story. And he gets the glory. I wasn't trying to rhyme, but it does rhyme. It's kind of fun. It's a God story and he gets all the glory. That's it. That's all I'm doing. Jared, would you come up? And you're like, it's 11:30. Well, there's more work to be done. And I say work, but I want him to start playing those keys because something happens. No, I don't mean to. I want him to play the keys. Let me be serious. Sorry, that was a joke. I don't want a joke. It's okay to laugh in church, though. Because I've been in heavenly places. I've had my preparation H, and God is full of joy in heaven. Someone told me that this morning, and I busted out laughing. You know who you are. I won't rat you out. I'll take the brunt of it. Yeah. Where are we at? Here's where we're at. Elijah carried the burden. He cared deeply. He cried out to God, but ultimately he committed the outcome to the Lord. This isn't just Elijah's story. This is an invitation for everyone in this room who is saved and knows Jesus personally. When you stand before God and you cultivate that relationship and you have a history with him, he begins to teach you how to stand for others. It always goes there. You will never be fulfilled if it stays in the room. In fact, that oil can get stagnant. The water from the temple can get caught in a pool, and it's no longer a river flowing from the temple. I don't want dirty water that just collects in a pool because I keep all my secret time to me when he's teaching me to stand for you. You're all on team intercession. You're all called to team intercession. How do I know that? I could give lots of scriptures. Ephesians 6:18 says, after the armor, right? Pray in the spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. And it says, keep on interceding or be in supplication for the saints. That was the whole church of Ephesus. That means all of us are called to intercession. If you're able, we might stand for just a little bit. I want to prepare. But I would like everyone who can to stand right now. Tessa, would you come on up? I want her up just to pray, and if I'm missing something, she'll whisper it to me. But she's going to be praying for you right now. You are standing before the Lord. You don't have to earn your way into his presence. You don't have to go through decades of spiritual disciplines to have a place before the Father. Because that was secured by something greater than your greatest discipline. It's something called the blood of Christ. you're justified. In Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, we've been justified and we have peace with God, and we've been brought into this grace on which we now stand. This is yours right now. You can stand any time before the Lord like Elijah. All the more so because we have the blood, we have the cross that speaks a better word. And Romans says, or Hebrews 4, 16 says, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. This morning, I didn't want to give my littles the tablets because we're trying to wean them so they're not so tablet dependent. But I think Raul and Ari came up with a scheme. He says, you're the youngest and you're cute. I don't know, I'm making this up. You go in and ask daddy really nice. And I'm praying and I'm prepping for the sermon, and I already said no a couple times. She comes and she says, daddy, can I have the tablet? Can we have the tablets? I gave in. And I'll talk with my wife later about that, but that's the kind of father you have. He wants you to ask. He's not a reluctant father. But today, this is about us stepping in the gap. Earlier during that altar call, we were stepping in for us. And Pastor Lynn was hearing the Spirit, and we were stepping in for our own miracle. And I actually believe that was prophetic, because I wanted to get us, our needs begin to get met and our faith to arise. But now I'm calling you into intercession. I believe the Spirit of God's calling you to intercession for someone else. And so from this place of standing, you can close your eyes. You don't need to. There's nothing necessarily more spiritual, but if it helps you focus, we're gonna practice what Elijah did. And I want you to, and I mean this seriously, we're not just going through the motions. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring one person to mind. And don't assume it's the person that you've always been praying for. It might be just one person. Not two, not five, one person. And whatever this looks like in your heart, I want you to carry that person who needs prayer into the presence of God. In fact, I want you to hold out your hands right now as a prophetic act right now, and you can keep your eyes closed. That one person he's putting on your heart could be a coworker. Could be a lost son or daughter. Could be a spouse. I want you to put out your arms as you're carrying them to the presence of God. And now I want you to allow the Spirit of God to begin to give you Father's emotions for them, Father's compassion for them, Father's mercy for them. If they're hurting, let yourself feel their hurt. If they're bound, let yourself feel their freedom. If they're lost, let yourself care about them coming home. Intercession is love refusing to stay at a distance. And we're going to do this in order, but I say that up front, but if you need to express a cry out loud, there's freedom right now to express a cry as we keep order. But Elijah cried out to the Lord, and his crying wasn't something magical, but it expressed his dependence that God had to come through for that boy. So sometimes there is a need to raise our voice and to cry out to the Lord and express, not because that's magical, but because that speaks to our dependence and trust that God has to come through. So right now, I want you where you're at, and obviously, you're in the presence of God. I want you to begin to ask boldly for that person. Ask fervently. It says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. I want you to ask passionately, persistently. Begin to cry out, and if some of you need to raise your voice, that's okay. I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying do what the Spirit is leading you to do. Yeah, begin to pray for that person right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I just thank you that you're stirring up faith right now. You've been doing it all service. There has been a stirring of faith and boldness, Lord. Even as Pastor Lynn, the boldness of the Lord came over him because he felt the faith level in the room rising. I declare that same faith, that faith has not left the room, guys, just because we're not in worship. I just thank you for the faith of God stirring up right now for miracles, for breakthroughs right now. Let your faith arise. Come on, continue to pray. Don't stop. We're getting right now that some of you are called to birth, and that's not just women, that might be a man. God is calling you to birth a new thing, to birth the miracle right now, to birth it. Sometimes in intercession, we go into groanings or birthing, and I just declare a freedom of release right now. Don't worry, the Lord's got me, and so he's in charge of this right now. If you need to birth something, don't be ashamed, because that lost person may never get saved if someone doesn't break with God's heart for them. Thank you, God. And I'm just going to say it again, birthing. There's some of you that God's calling you to birth and to cry out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give this just a few more minutes. God's not in a rush. He loves your prayers right now because you're standing in the gap for someone else. You're interceding. You're taking on his heart for that person. He loves intercession, and you're all called to the ministry of intercession. I see one person who's on their knees. One person is bowing or birthing right now. There's no shame here. There's only freedom. So whatever he's calling you to, I just declare a release right now for you to begin to intercede as he's moving you to intercede. Some of you might have been in services when you hear, even as our sister is wailing right now, there is times I've been in prayer, and I remember being at Carl's Jr. here in Caldwell with my daughter, and we went after service at 2:00 to go and get some lunch, but we had to stay in the car for a half an hour because I began to weep and travail for all the lost people of Caldwell who don't know Christ, who are going to go to hell. This was not natural. It was not me trying to burst a blood vessel. It was the allowing the Spirit of God, the spirit of supplication, to overtake me and care with God's care for that person, for the lost. It took us a half an hour to get into Carl's Jr. because we were travailing in the car and weeping under the presence of God. And I'm not saying that's all of you are ready for that, but some of you are, and you've been holding back. Some of you, God is wanting to birth travail, and you're going, this is too weird. I feel out of control. That's the point. When you're in travail, God begins to take over. He births the miracle. He revives the son. He brings the lost back home. There we go. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Spirit of God so strong right now. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we just need to lead in a little longer, let go a little more, and let God pray through us. If you need to bow, if you need to sit down at this point, there's freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're going to lean in a little longer. Every major revival was birthed out of intercession. Before there was an outpouring in Brownsville or Toronto, there was intercession. Before Azusa happened, there was intercession. Thank you, God. I believe right now, some of you, it's not for an individual. God is birthing revival. You are starting to feel God's desire to bring revival in this church, revival in this city, revival in Treasure Valley, revival in Idaho and beyond. Let it out. Let it out. Let him cry it out. Let him, even as you cry, he takes over your cry. As you pray, he takes over your prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming back soon. I don't know the day or the hour, but he's coming back soon. Thank you, God. And if you need to come to the altar, there's freedom here. That's if he's calling you to and you have a prompting. We follow the Holy Spirit. We don't do this by the flesh. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hearing this is the daybreak. This is the daybreak for some of you. This is the daybreak. This is the day things break open. This is the thing day. This is the daybreak. This is the day things break. And I just pray right now, I just thank you for things breaking off in the room and people breaking through to your throne room right now, breaking through into your power right now, breaking through into intercessional groanings right now by the Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you that you are birthing revival. Thank you, God. We're going to lean in just a little longer. He said, Matthew, preach less than you ever have because you have to give more room for me. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and sometimes there's a wail in intercession, but there can be joy as well. Not one is not more holy than the other. It's how the Spirit is flowing. He is all for wailing in the Spirit, and he is all for joyful intercession. It's how the Spirit wants to move through you. It's heaven's prerogative. Thank you, God. Let your presence fall in this place. Lord, we're hungry. We're thirsty for a move from you in our loved ones, for a move from you in our church, for a move from you, not a move of man, but a move of God. Okay. And if some of you need to continue on in this place, you continue on. Now, before we finish, I want you to do one thing. Whoever you were praying for, whatever you were praying about, I want you to commit that to the Lord now. Release the burden. Release what you just prayed out. Just, you might even see yourself. You might lift your hands. You might put your hands out. Do whatever you feel led to do, but just begin to give it over to God, knowing he heard you. And now it's up for him to respond that he is on the, God's like, hey, I got it from here. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You just be on the lookout with eyes of faith, eyes of wonder, eyes of anticipation, eyes of expectancy, and you're going to see the miracle happen in what you just prayed for. We lay it at his feet, because if we keep it too much, we get into unbelief. And he says, no unbelief. You laid it at my feet. Now walk in faith. Commit it to me, and I will make the dawn break. Woo. Release the outcome. Elijah carried the burden to the Lord, but he did not carry the outcome. Our responsibility is obedience and prayer. God's responsibility is the miracle. Now, we have one more thing I felt like the Holy Spirit wants us to do. You can keep standing. There's another side to intercession. There's some of you who are so good at praying for others, and you care, and you're so caring, and you're kind, and you've been battling in prayer for years. But today, you have personal needs. And I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up, the scheduled prayer team for today. You've been praying for your spouse faithfully. You've been praying for a child faithfully. You've been praying for friends, but now it's your day. And there's no, this is open to whoever feels led. The widow had to be vulnerable with what was inside her. The widow had to be vulnerable, and I feel like there's some who you're hesitating to come up. And I'm not saying come up for another's needs. You're not coming up and saying, my husband's a wreck, would you pray for him? We just did that and we committed that to the Lord. I want those to come up today who says, especially those who know you, God's calling you, but you're hesitant. The prayer team, trust me, they're prayed up. I fell out in the prayer room this morning. They are prayed up. But what I'm saying is you're someone who always prays and cares for others, but now it's your time. I really feel a call for this. If you're like, I've never been up to the front for prayer or years, and I feel like he's calling me because I'm battling something someone, no one knows about. I just want to encourage you to come up to the front. Come up. There's, if that's you, if you have a personal need, again, this is a call to personal need. It's your struggle. It's your anguish. It's your sin you're struggling with. Maybe you're harboring anger towards another. This is about your battle. Thank you, Lord. I feel like there's some more here who need to come up. Tess and I will be right over there. We'll be the fourth couple right over there. I'm going to close this out in just a moment. But again, if you're hesitating to come up for prayer and you're one of those who intercedes for others, you'll lay down your life for others, but you have a personal need. And this goes back to when I was talking earlier, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and you have a pain inside or something that you're struggling with or no one even knows about. Trust me, this team is confidential and they'll keep it confidential. But I just encourage you, there's still time to come up and to receive prayer. And anyone who needs prayer, if you need prayer, come on up. Yes, Lord, thank you. Father, I thank you that your word says that Elijah the prophet, the great prophet of God, was a man just like us. And Lord, we thank you that you've been teaching us that when we stand before you, we can stand before anyone. And today you're teaching us that as we stand before you, you're teaching us to stand for another person. And Lord, I just thank you even from this service for intercession to break out in people's lives where they're going to get so excited to allow you to pray through them. They're going to drop to their knees. Lord, I believe even some in the middle of their workday or the middle of their tasks, Lord, not to be disrespectful, but if you're calling them to pray during their lunch hour or during their break or in their house while they're doing dishes and other things, they get on their knees and they just start praying, Lord. I believe you're calling us into intercession. Your word says it, but some of us are a little slow. But I thank you that today you are lighting a fresh fire to stand in the gap for those that are suffering, those that are lost, those that are broken, those that need deliverance, Lord, from addictions. Thank you, God. And right now, I just thank you for your presence touching every person in the room. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I thank you that we will not be the same as a people today. That you met us, that you showed up, and you have been God today. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory for today. Lord, I just commit each one to your care and your love. And Lord, may we be faithful like Elijah when others come to us this week with their problems and their mess and their dead things, that we know where to take them. We know where to carry the problem to. And may we be people who are ready to pray, Lord. Make me ready to pray. Give me a history and an oil with you in which I can pray with faith and with power and see you be God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.